Glad to have you guys with us, and welcome to the Valley Outdoors. And apparently I am too hot for my shirt.
You're just too hot.
That's what's happening.
Too hot.
Good to see you, Ava. How are you doing?
Good to see you.
Don is not here this week. He's off gallivanting, doing something else in some other part of the state. Don't know what, but hey, it always makes for a faster show when we can come through and just, you know, whiz right through this thing. It's amazing.
Good thing we have a good guest.
Yes, we do have a good guest. We got Pete Mergens joining us. He's the head coach for the Northfield Trap and Skeet champion team. They won in the skeet side of it. We'll get the whole story in that. And obviously, it's one of the largest teams out of 356 in the state of Minnesota as well. We'll get the insight, the lowdown, all what's going on, that and more, even the best walleye baits. We may touch on that if we have time. Best walleye baits of 2024. Who knows? Join us shortly. We'll be right back. Eric Olson here, professional walleye tour champion, avid outdoorsman, and host of the Valley Outdoors radio show. Aquatic invasive species, or AIS, threatens not only our rivers and lakes here, but everywhere we boat. They come in many forms, and they love to hitch a ride to the next body of water on your boat or trailer. Join me to stop the spread of AIS by cleaning all weeds and aquatic material from your trailer before leaving the launch ramp. Drain live wells and clean areas that don't drain completely. Plus, don't forget to pull the plug. Clean, drain, dry. Together we can make a difference.
Avid outdoorsmen know that heading to the field without all the advantages, not a good idea. Most importantly, a stable shooting platform. Having the right platform can be critical to success. Field Optics Research is the industry leader, offering the most advanced, lightest, and stable tripods on the market. It's stability you need when that once-in-a-lifetime shot is in your crosshairs. Field Optics, the ultimate tripod for hunting, shooting, long-range precision shooting, spotting scopes, and outdoor photography.
Links to Field Research Optics available on thevalleyoutdoors.com.
Well, Ava, good to see you.
It's good to see you.
And it's good to be seen. We had the funny part. I'm too hot for my shirt. We had a little, had to do a little redo.
You know, your voice is so powerful. Sometimes you're just too hot. And I need to start over.
And I took advantage of the statement. I couldn't help myself.
Yep.
Of course, we had a good chuckle. But nonetheless, having a good chuckle, there's a story that we'll talk about at some point in the show today. But a guy in Michigan, he decided to divert a national park river.
By himself, yeah.
By himself, yeah. Single-handedly. So that's rather impressive, I will say that. But nonetheless, more important is the rain aspect of what's going on around here. This is beyond crazy. I'm a little blown away and a little frustrated because, of course, I like to fish the river. We're located in Red Wings where we tape this, and it's gone no wake. It's supposed to crest on Monday, this coming Monday. But with the forecast you and I were just looking at literally right as we're coming on air, it's looking sketchy. I mean, it rained on Thursday this week. It rained on Friday this week. It's going to rain Monday, storms, Tuesday, storms, Thursday storms, and then Friday rain. And again, long range forecast is one thing, but this is to the point where you wonder how much, how long this flooding stage is going to last this
I don't know.
Summer.
I mean, so our area, we see flooding pretty much every year. Pretty
yeah.
much. I mean, we're prepared for it.
Yeah.
Whole nine yards. But these communities that don't see it ever and devastating floods. I mean, Spencer, Iowa.
Yep.
I have friends that live there and the pictures and like, what? You know?
Well,
the Mankato Dam.
Yeah.
Making its own.
Yeah.
It
route.
Went around.
I think you've got. And it, obviously tying it into outdoor recreational aspects. So you look at campgrounds that are flooded out. across the board, it's devastating for, you know, for anybody doing anything outdoors. I'll just say mosquitoes. And
oh, they're so bad.
It's really bad. Obviously it is. But, you know, when you look at being safe, I mean, they put a no-wake zone in the river all the way from the upper aspect of the Mississippi down to Lake City. It's a no-wake zone. So it's a good thing. It's dangerous. There's a lot of floating debris, a ton of floating debris that is coming out of the woods that hasn't been that removed, I guess, for a while, or, you know, with an extended flooding situation. But nonetheless, I mean, a lot of it comes down to being safe, making sure that you are safe when you go out in the water. I don't care whether it's a lake that you know. Understand that if the water is high, things on shoreline that weren't prepared to be that high will float.
Are now in the water.
And they will be neutrally buoyant. Rivers are a special case where that is a challenge. And, you know, I want to do some testing out on the river with some new items on the boat. And I can't do that because the damage that could incur, as well as obviously no wake zones. But anyway, be safe out there, you guys. We don't know when this is going to stop. You know, get a boat. You'll be safe. How about that? Is that?
Yeah, I don't know.
Speaking of rivers and flooding, a gentleman decided in Michigan, we might as well bring it up real quick right now, he decided to divert a national park river on his own. He's convicted of changing the river path to ease boat access to Lake Michigan. He's banned from National Park Service property during the five-year period, including Sleeping Bear Dunes National Lakeshore in northern Michigan, where the incident occurred. He had a policy dispute with the National Park Service on whether to dredge the Platte River. And while he does have the right to disagree and advocate for his position, he did not have the right to take the law into his own hands and force the favored result. He was found guilty of a misdemeanor and tampering and vandalism during the brief trial. He was witnessed, a ranger witnessed him digging with a shovel within days, the government said. A new channel, Lake Michigan, grew to about 200 feet, 61 meters wide, attracting fishermen. The Park Service no longer dredges the river, and as a result, the sediment and sand buildup was reducing the ability to get boats to Lake Michigan. In a court filing, they said that the river had already been diverted by others when Howard moved some sand and rocks. Anything Mr. Howard did characterized as enhancing the newly created flow of the river was really insignificant. So there you have it. When things don't work and they're not doing what they're supposed to.
Don't take a shovel and try and do it yourself.
Yeah, apparently that's a no-no. The photo is pretty crazy, though. I mean, you have to admit.
And it turned into something like,
I don't know. I'm at a loss, yep. But I have been in before, so it's nothing new. It's nothing new. But anyway, we're going to be coming back. We're going to be talking with Pete Mergens, Northfield Trap and Skeet coach. He's the head coach, and talk a little bit about high school trap and skeet. What makes a championship team? That and more when we return. Well, thanks for hanging in there. And of course, we always like to have you guys check us out on where, Ava?
TheValleyOutdoors.com.
And Facebook. Like us, please. A lot of good stuff on there. And the Facebook page will be updated, and we will be having some pictures, some Port Washington stuff from last weekend, and we'll also be updating who's going to be on the show. So that kind of works.
Sweet.
And speaking of who's going to be on the show, it's who's on the show, the man, the myth, the legend. He is a state champion trap and skeet coach from the town of Northfield, Minnesota. A lot of friends over in Northfield. And Mr. Pete Mergens, good to have you with us. Nice. Thanks for joining us. Appreciate
it. Thanks, Eric. That's one heck of an introduction. I'll take it.
He's been doing a really good job at those today, hasn't he?
I've been working on it a lot. It's embellishment in some cases.
Flattery. It's flattery.
Yeah, flattery gets you everywhere. That's
yeah,
a big
flattery
deal.
Will definitely get you anywhere.
Or is it brown nosing? I don't know.
Yeah, both. It's always that way, especially when you know somebody has the control to shut your mic off. Well, Pete, I really do appreciate it, you joining us today. And it's kind of random how we actually got you on today. We're having a conversation about something completely different. And then I find out you're the head coach for the Northfield. And you guys rocked it this last week. And so fill us in what happened. Then we'll go backwards in time.
Sure. The last 2 weeks is where it all culminates for all of our 376 teams in the state. We go to Alexandria over 9 days. There's 9 conferences, and each day a conference competes, but we're all ultimately trying to get the top 40 scores to get an invitation or a berth into the Minnesota State High School League tournament. And so we were fortunate on the last day, Conference 9, that's our conference, we were fortunate enough to punch our card, so to speak, into the state tournament. And so we went and competed as a team in the state tournament and ended up in 11th place, which is actually quite good. I was lamenting to you earlier how when people hear that, they're like, oh, 11th place. They're not sure how that is. But when you realize that you're only 5 clay targets away from second place and 9 clay targets away from the state title, that means we shot pretty darn well.
No, that's awesome. And, of course, that's trap and skeet's a little different too, correct?
It is, yep. So our skeet championship just took place the last 3 days. Today being the last day was Conference 3, and I can actually tell you that Prior Lake ended up in Conference 3, the tournament champs of Conference 3. We're Conference 2. We, of course, competed the day before and took the conference title at that level. Again, we were defending champs, and so we managed to do it again, which is pretty darn exciting because, of course, the level of competition is pretty incredible. So Skeet has grown dramatically, so used to all happen on one day. Now they need 3 days to get through the 3 conferences. And it's a great format that that the USA Clay Target League uses. It was out at the Minneapolis Gun Club, and they have a great facilities there. And it's really something to see these kids compete at this level. They're quite good.
Well, and the important thing I think for the listeners to get to is the difference between trap and skeet. You've got trap, which is basically a 5-station. You're standing in a line behind a box or the trap house that is in front of you, and they all shoot from a centered location, right and left, at an angle out of the box. Skeet is different. Yep. I'll let you describe the skeet aspect.
Yeah, so you did a very good job with the trap. The trap, as an example, is a fixed position, and they travel 42 miles an hour within a certain kind of dedicated range. You don't know where they're going, but pretty much you have, you know, one of 3 shots that you're going to have. Skeet, on the other hand, skeet comes from 2 trap houses, a high house and a low house, it's referred to as, and it's basically a half circle, and there's 7 stations around the half circle, and then there's station 8 in the middle between the 2 houses. And you actually have to shoot an oncoming target from each station that you have a little less than a second to find the target, take aim, and crush that target, which, by the way, is at maybe 10 yards. So shooting a 12-gauge and shooting a number 9 shot, which is what's kind of preferred or required, your pattern is actually smaller than the target itself at that distance.
And that, to me, skeet can be a struggle bus snowball rolling downhill the wrong way. If you start to get on the backside of the snide, or it's like I'm somehow I'm off the groove, it can be, that's something
else. It's actually the fun part, Eric, is, you know, the poise that these high school kids show. It's one thing to be an excellent trap shooter. It's incredibly more intense and dramatic, the level of poise required. To your point, you miss a target, it's pretty easy to concentrate on that miss and to push through and to break the next one is what matters to shoot for competition score. And these kids in general, they're my best shooters all average 23.2 up to 23.9 out of 25. So the best in the state, I believe, was a 24.6, which means that student only missed four targets in 10 rounds, which is a pretty remarkable thought. And so, when you boil it right down.
Let's jump into that a minute. So it's not like you're just shooting 25 targets. You're shooting hundreds and hundreds, right?
Yes. Yep. So all these competitions that I was talking about, each student shot 100 rounds. So they shot four individual games. Yep, four rounds of 25 to total 100. So think about that statement. If you go back to just the state championship over 9 days, each conference has about 1,000 kids that participated. So think about that. 1,000 kids shooting 100 rounds.
There's a few rounds put down range.
At the end of the week, there's over 1 million rounds shot in Alexandria, Minnesota, which is to date the largest shooting event of any kind in the country.
And how many kids did you say again?
There's about, so there's 12,000 kids on our teams in the 376 schools, but not all, they're all invited to the state championship, but they don't all attend. So they estimated this year that we had a little over 9,000 students of the 12,000 compete in the state championship.
That's awesome.
It's absolutely
awesome. Well, and it is the fastest growing sport in high school, or actually fastest growing sport of any sport because of the amount of participation with the kids in high school. I mean, it's crazy. Yep.
We're seeing the collegiate teams now start. It's not NCAA sanctioned yet, but we think it will get there at some point. A lot of some very big schools now have very big club programs that there's two or three different leagues throughout the country. And the USA College League is now quickly becoming one of the big ones, just like they are in the USA High School Clay Target League. And my son goes to Iowa State as an example, and he shot since sixth grade and finished at the top of his class. And he is also going to be shooting on a club team down in Ames, Iowa. So, it's so impactful on these kids, and they love the sport so much that now they're causing their own movement, which is amazing to watch.
That's awesome.
And these schools are starting to catch on. So.
Let's drill down a little bit more. Let's drill down to the Northfield team in particular. I've got a lot of friends that have kids that have gone through the programs in Northfield at, you know, school and everything else.
Yep.
But you guys have a record program. I mean, literally a record-sized program. Fill us in on that.
We do. We're one of the top five largest teams in the state. And there's a little that goes into this, meaning it's a choice. First of all of these schools, almost none of them are funded by the school itself. Our program was started. We wanted the backing of our school, I think 14 seasons ago, roughly. We wanted the backing of our school, and some of my predecessors did an amazing job putting this together, kind of cobbling a team together and joining the USA High School Clay Target League. And basically, all the money, all the funds, all of the coaches. So, as an example, I have 26 trained coaches on my staff because we have 100 people 100 kids that participate on our team from 6th grade to 12th grade.
Excuse me? How many? How many coaches do you have and how many kids?
26.
What?
26.
One for four. Yep.
How many coaches are usually on a football team?
I don't know, a dozen maybe?
10 probably.
My goodness. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's why you guys are so good. That's fantastic.
Well, I have an avid outdoors past in my family, and, you know, my son, 6th grade, comes home one day and he says, "Dad, I want to join the clay target team." I said, "The what? Wait a minute. What do you mean? What?" He goes, "Yeah, there's a team at school that you can shoot on." I said, "You're kidding." So I'm like, "Well, yeah, let's do this."
And that took you about 8 seconds to say that, right? Or maybe 3 seconds.
It did. Because the first 3 seconds were like, "What the hell? Why? Yeah. Why didn't this exist when I was that age?"
Exactly.
But, very exciting to find out that this existed. And of course, I went just as a dad watching my son. And before the end of that season, the coach kind of grabbed me by the shirt collar and said, "Hey, you look like you know a thing or two about this. So we'd love to have some volunteer help." And so the next year I joined on as an assistant coach. And 2 years later, that coach was looking to step down, and I was given the opportunity to take over, and I really had no desire to do that. But when I realized how important this was, I said, "What the heck?" And that's when, you know, I took a very good program. My predecessors did an incredible job building this program. And I just saw some things that I thought would be more beneficial, and that's having trained coaches. Because when you have that many kids and this person says, "Oh, you should do this," and then they go get to the next coach and they say, "Well,
no,
try
don't
this,
do that, do this."
Exactly. And it's just a trial by error. And I'm very fortunate to have some, again, good people in my close quarters that helped me put some programs together. And this year we really saw the full culmination of all of our hard work, because we have more kids this year out of our 92 kids on our trap team. We had, I believe it was 44 out of that 100 shot varsity averages.
Wow.
So almost half of our kids now are shooting a varsity average, including kids all the way down to 6th grade.
So your feeder program is strong. That's a Yoda statement. I won't imitate Yoda, but the training is strong in this group without question. That's fantastic. So, yeah. When you look at the growth, has it been exponential growth over a couple of years? How fast has this grown for you, and where do you stop?
Well, it does create a lot of problems, and that's an excellent question. We have expanded the program so much, and then we took on skeet. There's also 5-stand in sporting clays options now.
Wow.
There's just unfortunately no time. That's part of the problem of being one of the biggest teams, is we don't get the practice time that another school who chooses to be smaller. So there are other schools that will have basically tryouts, and then they only roster maybe 30 kids, but it gives them more time on the practice field and more one-on-one time. But I can proudly tell you at this point that our methodology works too, in that we're shooting right at the same competitive scores as those very schools that are paring their kids down. We're finding success teaching them at an earlier age has them shooting higher averages at an earlier age, and thereby, you know, once our cycle gets through, and this was kind of our first group that worked under this methodology, and we're just very happy with how things turned out this year.
All I can tell you is absolute kudos to you, Pete.
Thank you.
That many kids that would not or may not participate in another sport, and to get them involved in a shooting sport is beyond amazing. Without question, you have to be commended. I coached high school ski racing, and I wanted to include as many kids. I had 50 kids on the team, and I had to have 3 coaches to try to help. And of course, all we do is stand at the bottom and provide, you know, hey, okay, do this. I want you to do this, and then reset and you know. So I know what it takes, but to coach 50 kids, much less to have to deal with 100 kids, and Sporting Clay is a five stand. And those, if you're not familiar with it, Sporting Clay is a walk through a given course rather than in a given confined concrete area. And you have significantly different clay movements that'll come through trees, it'll come through whatever, rabbit, it'll be rolling in the ground, whatever that might be. And then five stand is a little bit different, where you're in an actual standard position and there's multiple releases from multiple different directions. So all have a different tactical aspect to it.
Yeah.
But having kids exposed to that is absolutely fantastic. I mean, that's just, I don't even know what to say. I had no idea that the depth and breadth that you guys are after this, but when do you stop? What do you guys have? What do you think is going to be the max for you guys?
Well, I think we're pretty much there. I'll be honest with you. It really is, you know, we've created this. I have incredible coaches, people that their kids have come and gone and they're still on the team. And we have, I'm just very blessed with that, of surrounding myself with great people. It is so complicated though, because you get to know these kids when they come to you as a sixth grader. Imagine trying to remember the names of 100 kids.
Nope. Okay. I get you.
And
no, we have no more time left, and we certainly appreciate it. If you're interested in getting in contact with Pete and finding out about how to start a program in your area, contact Pete through the, you can get through us, and he is at Northfield High School. And Pete, I can't thank you enough for this. This is fantastic, and all the kudos to you and your program now and down the road. And obviously, we'll be talking soon.
Thank you for the conversation, Eric.
Not a problem. Appreciate it. You have a good day. And hey, thank you guys for joining us. This is the Valley Outdoors. Ava and myself, Eric, we are out. I hope you have a great weekend. Bye-bye.